Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Thanks so much for being with us. As you're listening, remember we can always take your questions for all four of our mayors by emailing ask@wbaa.org. And we should have the mayor on the line right now. Hello there, Mayor.
Hey, Emily, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. So we just had a little unplanned fire alarm that kind of overtook our show for a second, but all is well, yes?
Yes, some of the heat sensors went off in some storage areas that we had down in the basement of City Hall here, but they did their job, but there was no fire, and the fire department's been here, and I apologize. I'm not sure why we couldn't have connectivity out in the parking lot. I went to the parking lot to do the show from there, but...
You tried your very best to connect with us today.
We just couldn't get connected. But I'm back in City Hall now.
Excellent. I'm glad we can do the show. I appreciate it. Okay. So I know you're back in your office, so we'll just get right into it with the time we have left. Okay. So to start off with, yesterday, you were there, I was there. We had our last kind of scheduled COVID-19 press briefing, and the governor had his last weekly COVID briefing last week, so those are kind of generally coming to a little bit of an end right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the statewide mask mandate became an advisory Tuesday of this week. Local governments across the state have been making decisions about how to handle mandates close to home, and in our area, so Greater Lafayette, West Lafayette sticking with their ordinance for the time being. Lafayette is following the governor's guidelines. And I know not everyone is able to watch those COVID briefings kind of as they're happening. So I just wanted to take the chance to talk with you a little bit more today about your decision to go ahead and follow the governor's guidelines in Lafayette. And to kind of start off with, I know I asked everybody there yesterday about the process of meetings and decision-making around the COVID decisions over the last year. And so I wanted to ask, who did you kind of talk with or confer with kind of locally when you were making your decision about what to do here? Who did you have those conversations with?
Well, you know, we certainly always continue to look at the data, and Mayor Dennis and myself talked, and myself and the county commissioners talked extensively, mm-hmm. you know, as we were working through those decisions. And, you know, West Lafayette's kind of in a unique position over there with Purdue University, and we certainly understand that. But, you know, for us here in Lafayette and for the rest of Tippecanoe County, you know, as we continue to look at the data and looked at the reasons that the mask mandate was in place to begin with and where we are now, you know, and continue to study those metrics, you know, we felt that it was time for people to begin to make some of those decisions on their own in businesses. It certainly doesn't mean that people can't wear masks, that people, you know, can't go places that require masks if that makes them more comfortable. You know, those are individual decisions now that people can make. And I will tell you, you know, we've always worked hard here to communicate, to do the right thing, to try to put the appropriate measures in place at the appropriate time based on the data and the governor's charts and the different things we've done. And I think overall, we've done a really good job. But, you know, communities aren't exactly the same. And I will tell you, you know, I think people know that I'm active and I'm out in the community a lot. And I will tell you from conversations that I've had with people in Lafayette, it runs about 7 in 10 that believe the mask mandate should be an advisory, that we should be consistent with the governor. And it's time for people to have some of those ability to make their personal choices. And with the vaccine rolling out, you know, in my community, it runs about 7 in 10. People said that they felt that the advisory, being consistent with the governor and where we're at right now, that people deserve that right to start making some of those, and businesses, some of those choices themselves. So, you know, we certainly work together and we certainly follow the data, but, you know, we do also have responsibility to represent our constituents and what our constituents are thinking. And when there's a chance to an opportunity to find a balance between that, and I think making an advisory and people still being able to do it if they want. Like I said, nobody is saying that you can't wear a mask or businesses can't require it. And, you know, we're in that difficult period where we're going to have to continue to wear the mask under certain circumstances, socially distance when we can. I think the bigger issue actually is continue to get people vaccinated. There is still a decent amount of vaccine hesitancy. out there, and it's shrinking. But there, you know, across the country and even in our area, there is still vaccine hesitancy between all sectors, all walks of life, from people that are in public safety to healthcare to general citizens. And so I think that, you know, we have to continue to push that the vaccine is safe and effective and get people vaccinated and keep, you know, making sure that we're making good strides in that area.
So with the vaccinations, I'm glad you mentioned that. I know in my conversations with the health department, you know, their concern kind of was about that gap between not having enough vaccinated people yet and dropping some of the restrictions. You know, how do we keep people safe when really, you know, only a certain percentage of the population has, you know, been eligible for or has elected to get a vaccine so far?
Well, I think we keep urging people, if they haven't been vaccinated and they can't socially distance, to continue, you know, the best choice for that would be to wear the mask, or if they're around vulnerable populations, you know, encourage people to be respectful of the businesses that are making those decisions to require masks. And that we keep urging, you know, good common sense. You know, it's fine that it's an advisory, but you still need to use good common sense. And I think a lot of people will continue to do that. The people that probably will just throw caution to the wind have probably already thrown caution to the wind and not actually following the haven't been following the mandate that well to begin with. But I think most people will try to look at each situation individually, make the decision based on the factors that they're at, and make good decisions. Not everybody will, and not everybody has to this point, right? We know that there were lots of things that contributed, and probably some travel over spring break is contributing to some of the numbers we see now. But we had giant spikes at one point, and you know, the mask mandate was in place. We were telling people not to gather for holidays and all kinds of different things. And you know, we still had a significant surge. So we're never probably going to get 100. Well, we know you're only going to get a certain percentage of compliance, but we want to keep pushing people to make good decisions, do the right thing, use common sense as you're, you know, looking at this advisory when you do and do not wear a mask. And you know, at some point, you know, as you heard yesterday, we'll probably always be dealing with COVID at some level, because we just know not everybody is going to get vaccinated. And we're not going to wear masks forever. And so, you know, we're going to have to continue, all of us, to make good healthcare decisions as we move forward for this, if something else comes along. I mean, this may not be the last type of this situation that we have to encounter. And I think everybody has learned a lot from it. But, you know, we're just going to have to continue to be vigilant and preach common sense and making good decisions, be respectful of your neighbors and businesses, and let's work together to finish out strong here.
I think we mentioned this yesterday. We spoke with some business owners in downtown Lafayette Monday. So while the statewide mandate would still have been in effect, and they said they intended to keep requiring masks for their customers. And we actually heard from one of them yesterday and then today that they have already had customers coming in unmasked and kind of having to enter into that kind of uncomfortable situation where you're having to negotiate with someone about what they're doing. They don't want to have people unmasked in their business, but they also don't want to turn business away. You know, what can the city do for that business owner? You know, what's their recourse? I know that you've asked people to be respectful of guidelines in private businesses, but you know, that's not always going to happen.
Well, I mean, certainly if somebody, you know, is in that business and they won't leave or they get disorderly, they're certainly welcome to call the police department. That's their right. If they want somebody removed from their business or not allow them to enter, and if they're unruly, we'd certainly come over and assist them with that. And so, you know, that's something that we are certainly willing to do. If they're having a problem with the customer and they need assistance, we'll certainly provide it.
I think, you know, another thing too, you know, City Hall, I believe the mandate is until April 20th. Mm-hmm. And you addressed this a little bit yesterday. You were kind of talking about explaining having a mandate there and not for other places in Lafayette. You kind of talked about the idea of, you know, a private business. So, you know, is the argument that the government of Lafayette is the same as a private business?
Well, I think, you know, what I had said and what I had said in my press release, too, was that, you know, we're following the guidelines of the governor. He's still requiring masks in state buildings. And so we're staying consistent along with following his advisory of still requiring masks in state buildings. And so when we do have certain areas in City Hall where it is pretty hard to socially distance, if we get a significant number of people in there, we don't have the luxury of you know, just moving or taking out a table or something here the way some of the offices are configured. And so we just wanted to make sure for a couple more weeks we watched that and then stayed consistent with the government, because we don't have some of that flexibility in some of our office and meeting space. And so we wanted to make sure, and we do have people here that come in for meetings from different states, different countries. And so we're you know, thinking about that as we make those decisions. But primarily, you know, the governor's still requiring it in state buildings. And so we're going to continue to, and we may continue that after the 2 weeks. We'll kind of look at things. And if they're still continuing, we may still continue, and we may not. We'll kind of look at the data and make that decision as it gets closer.
I wanted to clarify, too. So the mandate will apply at City Hall, but I guess then we'll let it apply to city employees, you know, maybe out in the field, you know, police, fire, sanitation workers. Does that apply to that as well?
No, the chief has relaxed some of the restrictions for police officers that have been vaccinated. And so they do have to wear them out in public, but they don't have to wear them all the time that they're inside the police station or the training facility if they have been vaccinated and they can socially distance, or they're not going to be there for a long time. They do not have to wear their mask all the time. And so, you know, we have relaxed some of that here inside City Hall too for people that have been vaccinated, and looking at some of the other guidelines of how long you're in close contact, you know, to make it a little bit easier for folks, and they don't have to wear their mask while they're sitting at their directly at their desk, kind of in their own area, their own bubble.
Do you, and we don't know what the future holds, you know, cases are right now going up across the state, not just here, but, you know, down the line, I mean, do you see yourself reversing some of these decisions or deciding to go ahead and have a mandate in Lafayette, or just kind of, are you going to wait to see what happens if the governor changes his mind?
We'll certainly keep an eye on the data, and we'll certainly watch what the governor's doing. And, you know, we'll just continue to make the best decisions that we can and hope that we don't have another surge. I mean, they're, you know, this is not over, but people are, you know, they are ready to do some different things. And I think we have to find that common sense approach. But we'll continue to watch the data and watch what the governor's recommendations are, and continue to, you know, look at the advisories and the different levels and the different color codes that they have, and make decisions appropriately. We just don't know what it's going to do for sure. I mean, I know some of the people that called in yesterday were, you know, we're into a surge, and Dr. Adler was quite clear that we're not into a surge, and that this is way too early to tell if this is going to be some type of surge. And you know, the hospitals said they're busy with a lot of different types of trauma and different things that just happen in a growing community. Obviously, we're a growing community, and there's people that come in here from all over Central Indiana. But I mean, I think they're well positioned to help the community keep working through this, and you know, we've got to look at it from a positive side too, that hopefully we're through the worst here. And I'm just not, you know, the sky is falling type guy. And I'll just tell you, my citizens that I talk to, 7 in 10 say that following the governor's advisory and the way that we're doing this, they think that's the right decision.
So looking at event requests that have come, looks like before Lafayette's Board of Works in recent weeks, lots of stuff, Mosey Down Main Street, Star City Jazz and Blues Festival, Beers Across the Wabash, even a high school prom, all different types of events stretching across, I think, basically the entire summer in terms of their timing. We talked about this a little bit last month. But it, as it looks like kind of more and more events are coming back onto the calendar, you know, how is the city continuing to work with, you know, event planners to manage all of this safely? And are the events being handled differently depending on the type of event that we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, and certainly, you know, we're getting those on the books. I think the earliest one is the West Lafayette High School prom that mm-hmm. they're holding in Lafayette this year over at Reilly Plaza. And they're going to be practicing social distancing and those types of different things. And then the rest of them, you know, are a little bit further back. The Mosey for May has been canceled already. And the June Mosey is, you know, up in the air, but we're getting them on the books so we can start, because you got to have time to prepare and plan and watch numbers. And then, of course, the Taste of Tippecanoe has been moved back to August. Mm-hmm. The Jazz and Blues Festival, I believe, is in July. The Beers Across the Wabash is in August. So, you know, that gives us several months, you know, still here to get people vaccinated and to continue to hopefully have those numbers move in a positive direction. And then, like I said, the number of people being vaccinated continuing to grow, and we'll see if there needs to be adaptations to those events as they get closer. But we want to get them on the books. You know, they're important. Life does have to go on. Organizations have to be able to fund themselves, and we don't want the community to disappear or to, you know, and if the truth is, sometimes when things go away, they never do come back. They just can't sustain. And we've lost some businesses that are just, you know, not going to come back. And so we have to be cognizant of that too. And I think that's what people, the community, the vast majority of them that talk to me, elected me to do, to find that balance between public safety, public health, the economy, arts, culture, quality of life activities, and to make sure that we're safe, but we also sustain ourselves through this period and come out, you know, come out on the other end. So, you know, it's not maybe as easy as some folks think. There are a lot of things to take into consideration, and I get hit with a lot of different points of view from people who make some very strong cases and have some very valid arguments about, you know, how they feel things should be and what their rights are and what's happening to their business or what's happening to their organization, and can we find opportunities? And that's what we've done here. We work to find that balance and to try to keep everything going the best we can.
So last month we talked about, and this was still very early on in this process, where federal aid for state and local governments could possibly be spent in Lafayette. I know there was a lot up in the air, but you know, a month later, do you have any more clarity on that process or more information about how you might have access to those funds?
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming a little bit clear. It looks like they're going to distribute some of those funds maybe in the next couple months, and then some next year. And it looks like there's going to be some opportunities for direct revenue replacement for some of the revenue that local communities did lose. So that would be really, really nice, because one of the biggest areas that we lost was motor vehicle highway. Lots of people drove, so there was less gas tax that eventually flows back to us. Some of it flows back to us from the federal and state government. So that was real. That was one of our more challenging areas, because that's the money that we use to pave roads, fix potholes, do crack sealing.
Yeah, I think I've heard that from every mayor. Yeah,
issue. That one's going to be a big one. Lots of things in our parks and recreation was way down. And so, you know, that will help. And then there's some provisions in there for infrastructure projects. So we've established a committee here at the City of Lafayette made up of certain department heads and myself and Cindy Murray. And we're going to be working as a committee to look at the revenue replacement piece, and then, you know, things that qualify under the infrastructure section. I mean, obviously, we've been very progressive with our infrastructure here in Lafayette, water, wastewater, those types of things. And if we can even accelerate that, because we are growing and we have business opportunities, we'll continue. We'll look very closely at those funds to accelerate infrastructure.
So Loeb Stadium had a reopening ceremony. So this will obviously be a place for baseball, but sounds like there are other events planned for the space as well. What kind of events are we talking about? How will all of that work?
Yeah, we certainly want that to be a multi-use facility. And so it was designed in that way. As you know, it has the artificial turf with does help baseball too, because it drains very quickly after a rain and people can continue to play. And so that brings a new opportunity for lots of tournaments and different things like that. But yeah, we also want it to be used for concerts or band competitions, family movie nights, different types of events like that, that people, because we have two really nice kitchen areas there for concessions. We have the suites, we have the field, we have a fantastic video board. So there are a lot of different opportunities. I mean, people could even rent the suites for a small reception, a wedding reception, or a bridal shower, or some different things like that. So there are all kinds of opportunities. We're in the process of, we've kind of established our pricing structure, so people have an idea with that. And we've also looked at how we can facilitate those opportunities through marketing and communications. And, you know, one thing that's become apparent to me as we continue to push, you know, that may end up becoming a full-time job for somebody to handle inquiries, book those events, work with the caterers, the different people to make sure things are happening, because the response that we got from that first night that we were able to open the stadium, we were only able to do 50% capacity. So we had about 1,350 people in there, but the response has just been overwhelming and people are very excited about the stadium. And so, we think that bodes well for the future. And obviously the Aviators will play their first game there on June the 1st, and that's going to be a big, big event too. And hopefully the weather will be warm. It was a little cold the night of the Jeff yes. Central Catholic yes. game, but hopefully the weather will be warm and we'll pack that place, and people will really start to get to see it. And I think as that just goes on and on, the momentum will build.
What do you think the broader impacts are of a revamped stadium on that surrounding area?
Well, I think it's going to be great for the neighborhood, and certainly it's good for downtown as people come in through there in Five Points. It creates a new image, and I think it's going to be good for that whole surrounding area and help us greatly with economic and community development.
That's our time for today. Mayor Wazworski, thanks so much for being with us. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@wbaa.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.